Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Good day, Canada. Good morning to you, if it's morning for you. It's episode 164 of the Rod Peterson Show, coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada, where, if you're not familiar with the show, we talk about things that matter to Western Canadians. Today, that's been a lot of CFL. Poll question today, 24 hours after the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter in the helicopter crash for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center, should the NBA retire Kobe's number league-wide, number 24? 53% of you on Twitter saying yes, that leads. 69% on Facebook saying yes, that leads there. If you've missed hour one, you missed a lot. Mike Abumetric with us in the bunker. Kenny Stafford, Rough Riders receiver, talking about 2020 upcoming. Nick Lewis in the bunker here, Hall of Famer in waiting. Hey, Nick.
How's it going?
Good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
We got Calvin McCartney's going to join us in moments. They tell me that he's ready to roll. But Nick, your take on where were you when you heard the Kobe news, and how did it make you feel?
Man, I was actually doing my introduction for my podcast, and I was going to do Farewell to Eli, and got it ready, and then got the news, and man, it's just heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking that he goes out like that, and his daughter, who's just starting her journey, and you see her doing the same things that he was doing. I heard a reporter talk about, they sent him at a WNBA game, and he asked her who was the best player in the WNBA, and she says, me, or I will be. You know, she had that mentality, and it's just hard to know that, you know, all nine people, and very, very unfortunate.
Your thoughts on the retiring of his number?
I'd rather just go with two basketballs, have him as one of the logos as well. The Mavericks retired 24, and I don't know if every team should retire the number. I mean, if nobody's wearing 8 or 24, then yeah, but if somebody's wearing it, then I don't think that's the right thing to do. But put him on the logo. Let it be two different basketballs, two different logos, and, you know, an Eastern logo and a Western logo or something like that, and let it rock.
Well, let's talk. We'll start with Kobe and work it around to CFL news with Calvin McCartney, Edmonton Eskimos veteran, joining us today on video chat. There he is. Good morning, Calvin. You joining us from the City of Champions today?
Yes, sir. Live and direct.
All right. I appreciate the time, Calvin. I'll put to you the same thing we just said to Nick. You heard his answer. Where were you yesterday when you heard the news, and what were your initial reaction?
I mean, you know, my heart goes out to Kobe and his family. I was actually playing video games with John White, and, you know, he lives in L.A., and we just kind of had to get off the mic and, you know, just think about it. And I found myself in those days, I'm pretty sure many of you did too, kind of just off in the days, you're just thinking about the effect and, you know, how he motivated us and motivated, inspired other people. And actually, I took my daughter to the store right after that. So I just went on a little walk, and my daughter put on her snow outfit, and we actually went to the store and got some candy. So a time for me to reflect on myself as well. And, you know, spend time with those that are close to me.
You would have to say, if he had to go out, it was a noble way to go out.
I agree with the logo.
Yeah.
Agree with the logo as well.
How yes, so?
That's a great, you know. Oh, what Nick said, either you can double up on the logos or, you know, have one logo where it's him. So throw him on the NBA logo.
That would be cool, for sure. Time for a change from Jerry West.
You know, it's interesting because you look at it, you know how a coach is called timeout so you can get the standing ovation you deserve. This was almost like the timeout. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is like the standing ovation. Like, if Kobe dies 30 years from now, nothing like this happens. Right? But since it happened this way and happened right now, this was like God saying, timeout. I'm going to take you out. Good job. And now you can get your applause and your standing ovation. You know, that's just another way I look at it. And as an athlete, you got to love his competitiveness.
Well, speaking of, by the way, were you watching any of the Pro Bowl yesterday, Calvin? Because they stopped the game and they had a moment of silence for Kobe in Orlando yesterday. Were you watching the Pro Bowl?
I was. I definitely was tuned into the pregame, and then when the news happened, I didn't really watch much of the game at all. That was basically family time, and like I said, it was tough, man. But like Nick just said, you know, it's a moment for everybody to reflect. Not just, you know, obviously it's tragic, but it's a chance to look at self and use it as an inspiration.
Just got a notification. Breaking news. The Rough Riders have announced their coaching staff, which we'll get to in a moment and dissect that when we conclude with Calvin McCarty. But we've got a long ways to go with him. Calvin, what is your status for 2020? You coming back for another year in the sun? You were active in 2019.
100%. You know, I'm healthy. I'm one of the healthiest I've been, you know, going into this offseason. Finished strong. You know, we would have liked to, you know, had a chance to play for that cup, but you know, personally, I felt I had a good year, and I'm motivated and excited for 2020.
What is this going to be? You're number 14 for you?
Yes, sir. 14.
Yeah. So you've seen a lot of ups and downs in Edmonton. I mean, that's a hell of a career you've had up there. What, just talk about, not that it's anywhere over, but just, you know, your thoughts on your time with the Eskimos.
I'm sure Nick knows, man, it's a blur. And the time flies, you know, when you're having fun and doing what you love. So, you know, I played with a lot of great players and had a chance to win one great cup. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's still the motivation, is a chance to compete and win another great cup. You know, I didn't really know what I was going to do when I won the great cup, but I definitely have a plan now. So, like I said, Edmonton's been great, man. I live here. My family's here now. So, but you know, we're going into 2020, you know, I guess all options are open right now. So I'm excited for it. You know, it's kind of uncharted territories for me, but hey, I'm pumped and ready to play.
We've had some Eskimos on most recently, Sir Vincent Rogers, Nick's cousin, and they all talked about how excited they are to play for.
That's
where Sir get them hands from, huh?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It coming to family, you know?
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, you got him too. I don't understand why he's never mentioned with the best hands in the CFL.
He doesn't fumble.
He probably makes more one-handed catches than receivers.
Appreciate it, though.
You don't talk enough.
You know,
I tell. He's like Brandon
Quiet.
Exactly.
Very quiet.
There's guys in the league that do not talk, and they get overlooked by the media and the fans. And, dude, if you know how important guys like Calvin are to the offenses in this league, that can catch the ball, that can block, that can do everything from run game, pass game. You're so important to every offense you're in, but you don't get the credit. But I just think you have to talk more.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
You're probably not
throw that in the bank and maybe possibly use that one.
I was gonna say,
I mean,
after
you know, it's the business though, Nick. You know, it's tread lightly, carry a big stick when it's time, man. So that's just one of the things I learned as a youngster playing the game. I'm doing something I love to do, and I just feel like I'm supposed to do it if I practice it, you know? Like, I'm not trying to get up and celebrate. You might get a bushwhack, first down, move the chains. But at the end of the day, I just want to win the ball game, man.
You know, one of my things is I've always looked at it as I'm there to entertain. I wasn't really there to play football. I was there to entertain. So football was just the way and the platform for me to entertain. And I knew that in order to put people in the stands, I had to entertain. You had to hate me or you love me. You know, I didn't really care. You're going to support the product, which is the CFL. But, you know, either you hate me or love me, you're still going to support it.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
And congrats to Nick, man.
Yeah.
I appreciate
you. You know, congrats on your great career too, brother. You know, we've had brief conversations on and off the field, but I definitely respect you as a player, man. And I definitely try to imply some of those hits you be smacking the DNs with into my game, too.
I'm waiting to see you hurdle this year.
Well, by the way, Nick finished his career in Montreal, Calvin. I got to ask you this. 13 years in Edmonton, you're coming back for year 14. What's been your secret to longevity and staying with one team for that long?
I mean, it's obviously, you know, I'm blessed to still have an opportunity to play the game. And a lot of it is preparation. and being able to do multiple things, like Nick said. You know, I've had multiple head coaches, multiple GMs. Some like different things more than others. So if you can do something, you can do more things, I guess, great or good, then you have more an opportunity to stick, or something that a coach might like. Maybe they might like my blocking more, or the fact that a possible option out of the backfield, maybe some depth at this point in my career for a backup running back if they potentially want to dress one less, you know, American. There's a lot of different options with being versatile, not just within the roster, but within the flexibility of the ratio.
Lastly, let me ask you your take on the CFL West this year. You got the Bombers defending champs. Calgary's going to be mad. They didn't have the year they thought. You guys, of course, crossed over. And BC's, you know, big changes there because they weren't pleased with finishing fifth. What's your take on how tough this division is going to be?
I mean, it's a hats off to the CFL and making it a lot more competitive. I mean, West, as long as I've been in league, has been pretty dominant. Although East have pulled out some Grey Cups, and it's always excitement and competition throughout the league. All kinds of storylines that I feel like you guys are doing a great job of, you know, exposing and making an option for the rest of us to see. But the West is deep as it has ever been, so I'm excited for it.
Fans are writing in with questions. One, his name's Kenny Stafford. You know him. He says, uh-oh, can you come play for... I'm joking. He says, can you come play for Saskatchewan? Is that tampering, Nick?
Players can't tamper.
Okay, so it's legal. Okay.
Right. Yeah, only coaches can. Only coaches and GM. Players talk to each other all the time.
100%.
Okay.
You know, I'm an Eskimo until we'll see what happens here in the next while, but, you know, all options are open at this point.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
But Nelson Kenny is my guy, man. It's all right.
Nelson wants to know your take
Kenny
on a CFL. Nelson wants to know your take on a CFL All-Star weekend. If we had one, would you, and you were named an All-Star, would you participate? Your thoughts if there was going to be one?
I think it would be cool. I do agree with the dodgeball game that you guys were talking about earlier. And also, Rod, those guys do get paid to play in that Pro Bowl, right, Nick?
Yeah, they get paid.
Pretty sure they do get, you know, they definitely
you
get paid to go out there.
I mean, you got to do something to make them want to do it.
Yeah, but they don't get paid. Yeah. They just get paid.
So,
but if you're in the CFL,
I mean, it would be good, but at the end of the day, man,
I get paid.
It's kind of tough to watch the Pro Bowl now. I was definitely more excited for it as a kid, but I understand, you know, guys, same, I guess the same as the college guys not wanting to participate in the bowl games for some of them, you know, so it's a high risk, I guess, you know, for anybody to go out there and play an extra game, especially, you know, the way it's supposed to be played, and for people to enjoy it, I think it has to be full contact. So I think there are other ways that we can help promote and market the league. So,
well, as I said to the guys,
softball game too.
I said to the guys in the break, we got to do something. Whatever it is, we got to do something. But Kelvin, we'll let you go. Appreciate the time, man. That's a lot we got out of you today. I appreciate it, and good luck in 2020.
Hey, thank you for having me, and I appreciate what you guys are doing for the league and the players, man.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Kelvin. Kelvin McCarty checking in from Edmonton today, and that is interesting. That's one thing that we've noticed is this is the show of the players, and we're glad to have that forum for them to be able to come on.
I like what he said, an all-star softball game. You want to see some competitive people get competitive? Put them in a different arena. Put a bunch of football players in the softball arena or dodgeball arena, and then you're going to get 60 minutes or 90 minutes or however minutes the event is.
Nick, you've been around long enough. You must have played. Don't they have those in Calgary softball games with the stamps?
Yeah, Hank used to have one all the time. And then I've done a couple with Jack for the foundation that Jack has and everything. So
Life Choice Dynamics.
Life Choice Dynamics, there you go. And, yeah, so it's fun. It's competitive.
Yeah,
but
the Riders used to have a hockey team. The Bombers used to have a hockey team that just traveled
around.
But
I just think if fans want to see football players play football.
Yeah, I don't want to see them play ball. That's my that's my thing as a fan.
You know, but there's I don't think I remember probably about 12, 13 years ago they were talking about doing one in Boca Raton because that's where a lot of Canadians go to retire.
Doing one what, an All-Star game?
All-Star game in Boca Raton. And it was mentioned and it was talked about. The players would love it because it would be something they could do. And I think as a player, when you're there, you actually love the thought of an All-Star game. But then when you start getting into it and you start adding that extra game, and when are you going to do it? Are you going to do it in the off-season? Are you going to do it right after the season? Like, where is it going to be? And how do you do it? They talked about Canadian versus American. They talked about East versus West. Like, how would you really do it? Because you can't do it after February 15th because people are changing sides. So it would have to be in that window of end of November to early February.
I think it'd have to be, well, and this is Canada, right? Oh, Boca Raton, right. I think it would have to be maybe even a preseason thing. I don't even know where you'd fit it in. You're right. It'd be almost impossible.
But if you're going off last year, people are going to be on different sides.
Oh, I get it. It doesn't.
You know. Well, here's the problem. We'll never be able to agree on one thing. Nelson writes in and he says, combine it with CFL 2.0.
That's where I'm going.
And have it in Mexico. I think Mark, CFL week, if it's the next one's going to be in Ottawa, you got all the stars there anyways because they're there for the photo shoots and all the things that they do. And have a touch game and charge, because I don't think you're going to have contact. And what would it, for you, Nick, if you're an All-Star, which you would have played in it, financially, what would you need to make it worth your time?
Man, if I tear my ACL and I can't play the next season.
That aside.
I mean, but you have to think about that because this is your career. Every time you step out there, and if you're not giving it 100%, you always know that's when you're most likely to get hurt. And so you have to think about the injury factor. But yeah, I mean, I definitely want to be compensated something that makes it worth stepping on the field again. I mean, it would have to be Grey Cup-ish type check.
Which is
right,
what, 30?
16 to 20.
16 grand.
Yeah. Are you talking about a football game or a touch game? Is that, maybe that's where our disconnect is.
I'm talking about
is.
Like an actual football game.
Yeah, a football game's different than a touch game. Rod just said during, you know, get the All-Stars together for a touch game. I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely. But for me, that's not football. That is a different arena. That's baseball or something. What if you do this? For me.
Canada versus the world, college, All-Star game, Grey Cup week.
So what I'm thinking is combine it with 2.0.
Yep. And so you get the best in the world that's going to be in the draft versus the best in Canada.
That's where you go.
And then let them play All-Star game and move the CIS game up a week. So then...
But the Canadian sports fans have no idea who these guys are. That's the problem.
What about if in February...
But they will, because, I mean, this is a way to showcase the world players coming into the league and showcase the best Canadian players.
Yeah. Be a good way to do it.
Game, right? Mm-hmm.
What if during CFL week, it's in Germany now, and they bring over the CFL team, and now they play, they spend a week coaching up the German team, and then at the end of the week, the CFL... All-Stars play against the German elite team or whatever, a bunch of guys that are going to go in the draft. Then you have a game. And I imagine it would be like playing hoops with your kids. Like, you can make it, you know, you can swat them and you can just beat them and kill them. They're mentally and physically. Or you can kind of make it, and any parent out there knows how to make it competitive with someone that's not as skilled with you. And it just reminds me of when I was at Western, we went to Japan and we played against a team of Japanese all-stars, and it was like we won 77-0, and we were running plays not to score. But to say that we weren't trying wasn't true. To say that we were trying wasn't true either. I think there's ways to go about it.
Hang on. We need to break. I just got to get to the coach's coaching announcement. The Saskatchewan Roughriders have announced their coaching staff. Offensive coordinator Jason Maas, receivers coach Travis Moore, offensive line coach Steven Sorrells, running backs coach Tim Prinsen, the UND great, and at former Eskimo.
Center.
Offensive assistant Josh Lambert, know him from the Alouettes days. Defense, the coordinator Jason Shivers, DBs coach Richard Kent, linebackers coach Dion Melvin, special teams coach Kent Maugeri, and these were all names that we told you a month ago we wrote about would be on the Riders coaching staff, but there are a few new ones there. We know everything that's going on over there. And Claire Hanna of CTV TSN tweeting an additional, that Dickinson said an additional announcement about the D-line coach will be made in the coming weeks. So this is the coaching staff for the Riders, minus the D-line coach, announced this morning. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. Also, Justin Dunk on the program today. It is the Rod Peterson Show, episode 164 on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital GMC. We're ready to pay top dollar for your vehicle, and you deserve an upgrade. Our new inventory has just arrived, and we already want it gone. Costco special member pricing is back. That means massive discounts for Costco members. Plus, members get a $500 Costco cash card with purchase of select new vehicles. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's largest GM dealer, Capital GMC in Regina.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs. Since 1989.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio. Music to build a better day.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Okay, welcome back to the program, everybody. Morning sports update for Seat Giant and Wendell Clark's. The National Hockey League resumes play tonight after taking a break for All-Star Weekend. Six games on the slate. Montreal home to Washington. Ottawa welcomes New Jersey. Toronto visits Nashville. And Vancouver is home to St. Louis. The first place Canucks are 1 point up on Edmonton and Calgary in Pacific Division standings. An anti-doping panel is clearing top Canadian canoeist Lawrence Vincent Lapointe to return to training and competition. The panel accepted evidence which supported that she was the victim of third-party contamination. Not sure why that's in there, but that's okay. IOC President Thomas Bach is remembering basketball great Kobe Bryant, calling him an outstanding and true Olympic champion. Bryant, of course, killed in a helicopter crash yesterday along with his 13-year-old daughter and seven others near L.A. Kobe helped the USA win gold medals at the Beijing Games in 08 and the London Games 4 years later. Meanwhile, Nick Kyrgios wore a Lakers number 8 jersey to honor Kobe ahead of his match today at the Australian Open against Rafael Nadal. The top-ranked Spaniard won in 4 sets. This sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RPSHOW fans. Visit SeatGiant.ca. And for Wendell Clark's Classic Bar and Grill, corner of Idlewild and Circle Drive in Saskatoon. See it, Wendell's. On the topic of a CFL All-Star game, Nashville writing in and also Randy Nickel both saying each player on the winning Pro Bowl team gets $70,000 and on the losing side, $35,000. So maybe it's literally dead in the water
to put that in,
because we just can't pay the players that in the CFL.
Put that into CFL money, the winners get $7 and the losers get a free Big Mac.
Honestly,
when I asked
Nick what it would take for you to play, I was thinking a couple hundred bucks.
In a football game, not a touch game, right? What would you put? Because you play touch. I've seen you play touch
games.
You
know, look, I'm not stepping on the field. So many injuries, Achilles, you can't just step out there and, I've never stepped on the field and not gave it 100%. And you can't put me in a competitive situation not to go hard. Right? And Yeah. I mean, even 70 and 35 for those guys that are making, you know, $10 million a year, what is that?
Nothing. That's like, no,
it's
context.
It's nothing. So basically what they're paying them, like you said, if you compare it to CFL, and they're like, okay, we're gonna pay for your accommodations to go down or wherever it's going to be. We're going to pay for your hotels. And
bring your family.
And then you got family. And so you're pretty much going to spend the money you make anyway on bringing family and everybody down.
You'd lose money.
Yeah.
The CFL.
So this is why we don't have one.
And that's what I'm saying. If, like, it'd have to be in Mexico or in Germany or somewhere that... you know, we're going to get some new fans. We're going to break. Because, I mean, well, no matter where it is in Canada, it's going to be Ryder fans and Halifax Schooner fans, no matter where it is.
As a coach, you already got them. I mean, as a coach, man, I don't care. If I'm coaching Riders, I don't want to see my stars out there. Every time my quarterback gets hit or something happens, I'm thinking, ugh, I'm stressing. Like, it's no.
You probably don't even want to participate in a flag game if you're the coach. I would think you would want Cody Fajardo in bubble wrap if you were Craig Dickinson.
But to be fair, I mean, you're running out and playing catch and running around with your kids, and if you get hurt playing with your kids, you're not paid. If you get paid doing a CFL or an NFL or CFL event, you're covered. You're
guaranteed contracts for that year, regardless of if somebody gets injured.
Yeah, it would have to be that.
You'd have to find a way to guarantee the base.
Jordan, our cameraman, one of them. Writes in, Jordan Blodgett says, anyone know how I can get onto the end of the game and lose? I'd be okay with $35,000.
Yeah, go back to school.
Yeah, learn football.
Start over.
You picked the wrong career, buddy.
Yeah, instead of going to study, do 8 hours of football, then go to study hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy.
I want to get into the Ryder coaching staff for a moment because we've spent enough on the All-Star game, and I'm actually kind of discouraged because I don't think it'll ever happen. But maybe if we can get to a skills competition like Damon Allen used to do, something where we can get the players and fans together, that would be real nice. So Jason Maas, the offensive coordinator, going back here on the Ryder coaching staff, announced within the last 30 minutes, Travis Moore, the receivers coach, Steven Searles, the O-line coach. These guys have all been on the staff for a few years. This is new. Running backs coach Tim Prinzen. He had been with the Edmonton Eskimos. Josh Lambert, offensive assistant, fresh off 2 years as the offensive coordinator at Acadia University. And on defense, as I mentioned, Jason Chavers, the defensive coordinator, Richard Kent, the DB's coach, Dion Melvin, the linebacker's coach, Kent Majuri, the special teams coach. Here's the footnote on the news release. In addition to head coaching duties, Dickinson will remain as the Rough Riders special teams coordinator. An additional announcement about the Rough Riders defensive line coach will be made in the coming weeks. And from what I know and from what I hear, they could have announced this staff really weeks ago. It's the D-line coach that's been hanging everything up. That's it. Everybody else was in position. So for the Rider fans watching, what do we think about this staff?
Luke Mullender, D-line coach.
Wouldn't he be great?
Yeah, that's what he's holding it all up with this red cross front that he's running.
Well, Nick, you're close friends with Devon Claybrooks, and Clark was asking you in the break, there's a D-lineman? There's an open job here. Why not Devon Claybrooks? You've got good reasons as to why.
You don't have the money, one. And two, like, he's got some NFL opportunities and things like that. So, and when you're making head coach money and you don't have to do anything for a year, like, why come back for a D-line job that you know you can get anytime you want, basically? So I don't think there's anything that makes him jump out to come back to the CFL. So that's just my personal, you know, from talking to him and, you know, being friends with him. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, though. I mean, even the NFL D-line jobs, it's still he's got to take a payout from BC. So
it would be dumb for him to jump right back in, right? Yeah. Financially speaking.
Yeah, so, you know, it's just about how that works out. And then he's been grinding. You know, Devon played so many years in the NFL and the CFL and went straight from player to coach. This is his first time off probably since he graduated from college. So to be able to just sit back, relax, refocus, and figure out what he wants to do, it's a perfect time to take a year off when you can make that type of money.
You didn't really get much of a break, though, did you?
As far as?
Playing to coaching?
Oh, no. So when I was done in 17, I took the year off to be with my mother because she was going through cancer. And then 19, I was coaching.
Right.
So, yeah.
with the BC Lions. So
yeah, so I had about a year off.
Oh, well, speaking of, by the way, Brendan Tamman gets announced with the Alouettes as their senior player personnel director just after we got off the air on Friday. And I'm very happy with for Brendan. Shot him a quick note. He sounds very excited with the job. I saw some losers on a message board write, Tamman finally got a job. And it just reiterated what I know, that you guys have no clue how things go. Brendan's turned down a lot of opportunities the last five seasons. He was in the same situation. He was getting paid out great dough by the Riders for two and a half more years. He was fine. He didn't need to work. And now here's a position that is seems to be a good one for Brendan.
That's what you want to be in. You want to be in a position where you can say yes or no to jobs, right? You want to be in that position where you have the financial freedom to be like, you know, that job's not a good fit for me. I don't want to have to take a job just because it was the job available, right? You want to be in a good fit. You would like to have some stability, because I couldn't see myself just driving around the country, moving my kids and my family year in, year out. I would like to be in some stability, and that's part of the reason why I took this year off, is to create stability to then be able to do those things and choose what I want to do and what I don't want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I'm sure Kahari had something to do with BT going to the Owls. I mean, BT's the guy that dug Kahari off the practice roster of the BC Lions. I think he was a third-string quarterback, traded for him in 2000, became league MVP. Didn't win a Grey Cup, though, with the Bombers, unfortunately. But I'm sure that, you know, whenever there's a head coach and then the GM is hired, you're like, okay, how is that going to work? BT comes in there with the GM, with that management group, and you know Kahari's his guy.
What they've been through, I mean, it's such a power move to have Machocha and Brendan Tamman and Kahari.
Huge.
And all those guys, right? That's stability right there. And when you listen to when I talk to some of the players over there, I mean, it's something they haven't had in so long.
You know, and you, Nick, you're talking to the same guys I do. I mean, there's a lot of quality guys, to use the football term, on the street. And I'm talking about coaches and management people, let alone players, with one-year contracts as far as players go, and now the guys are out of work in football, you could conceivably have a turnaround real fast, get restored to respectability real fast.
Every year is a race to the Grey Cup. I mean, it's a free agent grab, right? So some teams like Calgary still try to produce their own to try to keep that stability. Some teams that are on the bottom of the league, it's just like a one-year fix every year. You know, like look at last year, going out in Toronto, going out and get Darrell Walker and getting these pieces, and then it didn't work. So now it's like, okay, so how do we do it now? So every time they're just trying to reconfigure the wheel and try to figure out what's going to work best.
We got a break. When we come back, Justin Dunk from 3downnation.com with all the latest CFL news. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show or listening. It's episode 164 of Canada's only live mid-morning sports talk show. And we'll be right back on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Prairie Mobile is your SaskTel authorized dealer. Whether you're looking for talk, text, or data, shared, unlimited, or business plans, Prairie Mobile will help you find the SaskTel wireless plan that's right for you. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1, maybe 2%. That's people.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Just ahead of Justin Dunk, Tyler has written us on the Prairie Mobile text line. He says, for the sports update, Mark McMorris made Winter Games history Saturday night, Winter X Games history Saturday night in Aspen, Colorado, by finishing second in the men's snowboard big air competition. McMorris won his 18th X Games medal, tying the event's all-time record. That's from Tyler. Hard to believe that a guy from here would be a record holder in snowboarding. As flat as it is. Congrats to Mark. And the Prairie Mobile text line, you can always write us at 840-8777. Buy now, pay later at Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Justin Dunk joins us from Southern Ontario on video chat this morning with the latest in the CFL. Good morning, JD. Where do we find you today?
Downtown Toronto, Roddy, at the CBC building. How are you guys doing out there?
Oh, we're doing very well. Justin, you're a sportsman, a sports fan. As an NBA town, how's the death of Kobe Bryant affecting Raptors fans and even yourself out there?
It certainly is around downtown Toronto. Last night, the CN Tower was lit up purple and gold. There was a Kobe tribute outside Scotiabank Arena, where obviously the Leafs and NBA champion Raptors play. And just walking around downtown today, I've seen a number of people rocking Kobe Bryant jerseys. So somber, but also a celebration of the legacy that Kobe left.
What do you have for us in CFL circles, Justin? It's Monday, brand new week. What do you got?
Well, I know you guys like your Riders talk. I always try to, you know, treat you the best. And some people wondered what's going to happen with the special teams coordinator position out there in Saskatchewan after Terry Eisler went to the Edmonton Eskimos. Well, the intel says that there could be a possibility where their running backs coach from a year ago, I believe it was Kent McGurry, I hope I'm saying that properly, could actually take over the special teams coordinator role. So that's the latest out of Regina.
As far as free agency hitting up February the 11th, Justin, I've got Nick Arbuckle as my number one free agent. You had Willie, right, Nick? That was your number one free agent?
No, I didn't put Willie on my list because I thought Willie was NFL or Winnipeg. I didn't classify him.
Who did you have number one? Do you remember?
Stanley Bryant.
Stanley Bryant, who's obviously re-upped in Winnipeg. Yeah. What's the salacious stories going into free agency here, Justin? And who would you have at number one on your board?
Whoa, that's a big question as to who to have number one. I'm sort of with Nick on Willie Jefferson in the sense that I think it's NFL or Winnipeg, but I do think there could be some dark horse teams out there in on Willie Jefferson. One guy of interest to many Riders fans is going to be Solomon Elamimi, and I think he could be highly sought after. As for number one on my list, it's always got to be surrounding that quarterback position. So I look at a guy like Nick Arbuckle, young, has some starts under his belt, is relatively healthy. You know, Zach Kolaros, I think, is right there with him. If you want a guy that can come in, proven he can assert himself as a leader and also gain the respect of the rest of the people in the locker room. Guys, the one thing that's going to be interesting is the CFL is going to release the details around the negotiating period this week. Right now, currently, there's front offices across the league that don't have them. So they're going to have to play it by ear in terms of how to approach that period overall going into free agency.
I got to ask you, Justin, because you're talking to so many people on a daily basis in the league, the Atlantic Schooners, Touchdown Atlantic's going to Halifax July 25th, Riders and Argos. I'm still 50-50 on whether the Schooners ever play a game. What's your gut telling you?
overall, it does seem like it's going in a positive direction. It was a massive step to get that $20 million from HRM, or the Halifax Regional Municipality. Now it's going to be with the province. And Roddy, I'm sort of with you. I'm more 60-40 where I think I could see it happening, but until there are more steps taken, I'll stay right there. I think it's more likely than not at this point, but we need to see the province really get behind it. And when they had this game, the Riders and Argos out there this season in Halifax, the people on the East Coast need to pack that barn. It's one thing for the Rider fans to come in from all different avenues throughout Canada, but they need to fill that stadium with people from the Maritimes.
Last question, because I'm sure your arms are getting tired. I just got to say, hats off. The off-season story so far in the CFL has been Chris Jones staying in Cleveland. You nailed that 2 weeks ago. You going to tell us this morning how you heard that, Justin? Come on. Kudos on that one, by the way. That's the biggest story of the off-season to me. And I guess my question to you for real is, do you think he'll ever come back to the CFL? Because I don't. I think he's in the NFL to stay.
Well, it's a difficult one, Roddy. First of all, you know I can't give away my sources. No good journalist ever does. but it does seem like he's going to stay in the NFL for at least one more year. And the more you stay in there, the more connections you can make. He was at the Senior Bowl. He was scouting the Shrine Game for the Cleveland Browns. So clearly has some staying power in that Cleveland front office. And I really believe the more connections he makes that he'll be able to try to continue to climb the ranks in the NFL. It's such a quick business, can turn on a dime, so you never know. But it looks like he's all right, at least for one more season, and we'll see what happens at the end of next year.
Canada's Adam Schefter. Justin, thanks for fitting us in today. Enjoy downtown Teal, and we'll be in touch.
You bet, guys. Be well out there.
Justin Dunk from 3downnation.com. I do have a bet with former Stampeder Ticat and Rough Rider Marshall Hamilton that Chris Jones will be a head coach in the NFL. And it's within 7 years. We're down to 6 years now. That's my bet. But I'll ask you, Nick, you know Jones. You were on the Calgary staff with him, or you played there when he was on the staff. Do you think he's in the NFL to stay like I do?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, when you work as hard as he does and you look at all the details, and he has such a great relationship with his players. So you have all those positive things. The players are going to love him. You know, the coaches are going to love him because he works hard. The owner and the GM are going to love him because he does everything that gives you a chance to win. Not only in – look at all his titles here in Sask, right, from president to head scout. Like, he does everything. So not only can he play, he can sit in a room with all your scouts and discuss the personnel. So he has the ability to do everything across the board, and that's a huge advantage that a lot of guys can't do.
What do you think, Abu?
Oh, there's no way he's coming back. You know, he's just too good of a talent. You know, you only get one shot, and like you said, when you put the work in, you're going to get noticed. There's no doubt in my mind he's been noticed.
For sure. And by the way, here's a mind bender for you. I will put myself in this. We've criticized Jones for not being able to find a quarterback. Well, he did secure a Grey Cup winning quarterback in Zach Collaros. He just happened to win it a year too late. But Jones identified a quarterback that could do it. Injuries befell him here in 2018. But think about that for a second. Yeah, so he does know what it takes to the quarterback position.
Yeah, quarterbacks just aren't, you know, the good players at any position have jobs for the most part, you know. He did find the players. It just needed a little tweak here and there for it to come to fruition.
Even Sass's team last year was still all Jones's guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was very few people that was influencing that team that was a Jeremy guy. You know, you'll see more of Jeremy's guys this year with all the free agents and everything like that. So then Jeremy's team starts to be born now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that team last year was still Jones's guys with Craig's vision.
Absolutely. For sure. And over, I couldn't agree more. Jeremy's stamp will be on this. And at the quarterback position, that is Jeremy's guy.
Yes.
Right? So as time goes on, and they're going to be successful under that, but I'm also with you that it was a lot of Jones's team last year. Let me ask you this before you go. Calgary, 2011 was when Jones left the Stamps, and like literally in the middle of the night, right?
Yeah.
Did him and Huff ever get over that? They must be over that.
I don't know.
It was pretty rough at the time.
I haven't talked to Huff about it. I mean, I heard the stories, and you know, Huff walking in and Jones clearing out his office, and then it was one of those things where it was dicey. And then Jones not shaking his hand, you know, three straight years until he beat him when he was in Edmonton. So I don't know how they've dealt with that. I know Huff is always willing to put things, let it go, and you know, be a man about things. So I don't know where they stand.
Well, and I had my dates wrong. 2012 Grey Cup. That was when Jones had fled to Toronto. I had my years wrong.
Yeah.
And that was one of the storylines of the game was Huff versus Jones, right? So
yeah. It's I don't know where, like I said, I don't know where Huff stands on it. And I don't know where Jones stands on it. I'm pretty sure Jones, they respect each other. I know that. They have the utmost respect for each other and their abilities. So
well, the thing is, there's a lot of similarities. I know them both not as well as you. The difference is this. One guy that I don't want to name, but he's a CFL great, said, if you asked Huffnagel to run a team and he had to break the rules, he couldn't do it. Because Huff's, you know, by the letter. Whereas Jones, you tell him you have to run a team by staying within the rules, can't do it. That's the difference between the two.
Hey, Jones is going to push all the laws of being the best you can be. And that's what you want in your head coach, right? And Huff has just... Huff has figured it out.
Right.
The dude knows it. He just figured it out on how to get it done, and it's so incredible.
He did, but within the confines of how. Like when the staff limitation came out in salary cap, Huff was already underneath it. His staff was within it, right? He was fine.
Yeah.
But you look now, there's like when it came out last year, you can have 11 coaches. I think every team had more than 11 coaches, and SAS and Montreal had like 17, 18 coaches. Now, you look at Edmonton, who has 8 coaches, right? You look at all these teams, Calgary's got 9. Nobody really has 11 coaches because of the cap and the money. So it's taking jobs away from guys that are younger to have the opportunity to grow. It's taking jobs away from just better coaches. You know, I talked to Kevin Glenn last week, and he turned down 2 teams, and that was part of the reason. I mean, there's not a lot of stability in it anymore right now because, one, the cap. There's not enough money to make guys just really come up here to make that little money for what they had to put in. And two is the opportunity to stay around.
You're right. And just to finish on what I was saying, maybe I didn't say it properly. Huff found the way to dominate within the rules. Jones was always looking for a loophole to be successful outside of the rules.
It sounds like if you ask them to both to go and stand on that line over there, Huff's going to have his toes on the line. And he's gonna have his heels on the line. They're both on the line, but holes or right. Heels? Heels
exactly.
Or toes?
Last word, Abu? Anything? We're gonna see you in the CFL All-Star Game?
No, I was never that good of a player.
All right.
Thanks for pointing that out every week, though. Yeah.
We got Michael Bishop says hi, by the way. We got.
I fooled him for 10 years.
We got gift certificates for both these guys from the Tap Brewhouse and Eatery. Dupe joins me next for Overtime. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Pre-Owned. We have a massive inventory of all make, all models pre-owned inventory, and you gotta see it to believe it. Trade up on this pre-owned 2018 Volkswagen Golf all-wheel drive for only $19,999 plus tax. Or get into this loaded pre-owned 2018 Ford Explorer all-wheel drive for only $32,999 plus tax. It's time to trade and upgrade at Canada's number one pre-owned Ford store, Capital Ford Pre-Owned.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Everyone loves a deal. instantly save 50% on locally offered cash value coupons. Plus, a portion of every purchase goes to your favorite cause, Primo Deals, community fundraising. Download the Primo Deals app now to start saving and giving today. Primo Deals, building communities.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, to the program. Quiet on the set, please. Places, everyone. I'm just Josh and Paul over there. He didn't even smile.
It's Monday.
Come on, Paul.
What's up, Rod?
He's got the Monday blues. It's the overtime segment for Emerald Water. Sticking a fresh flood on here for overtime. Next goal wins. And sports on tap, by the way. I'll say it again. Last night in the dub, because there's no games on tap tonight in the dub, but the Regina Pats beat the Saskatoon Blades 4-3 in overtime yesterday. And I want to just say this. I sat with my brother on one side and Shay from Prairie Mobile on the other, and my brother Lee said it'd be hard to tell what the records were by watching them out there today. The Pats were physical. They were dominant.
That's what
the Pats looked really good.
That's what I said on the air, you know, Saturday night in Saskatoon. You know, what can people expect? And it's crazy, and this is going to hit home for the locals, but that you're seeing Saskatoon and Regina only play for the first time at the end of January. They're going to play six times over the rest of the season. A quarter of their games will be against each other.
12 points on the line.
So that's pretty exciting. And that's what I said, though, on the air. I said it's not going to matter what the records are, that the Pats are a lottery basement team and the Blades are a playoff team. It won't look like it because they always play each other tough no matter what the records are. And a lot of rivalry, a lot of pride on the line. So it was fun last night. I was kind of following along from home.
I saw somebody put on Twitter that the Blades white Pac-Man jersey is the nicest jersey in the dub. It's up there. But to me, the Regina Pats Navies will always be the nicest jersey in the WHL. But that's just me. There's no right or wrong answer. I really do like the Blades Pac-Man jerseys too, though.
The Pac-Mans are nice.
Which, by the way, we were looking at the standings yesterday, us in our little trio. And thank you, Mike Lee, by the way, for providing a space in his suite to have this little discussion. There will be no playoff hockey in Moose Jaw, Regina, or Swift Current. But what's nice about this show is we're not Regina-centered. So we can go up to Saskatoon and PA and have a blast. Oh, yeah. Maybe even over into Alberta and have a blast. Going to the playoff games, covering it. We don't need to rely on the teams down here.
No.
Calgary beat Red Deer 5-2. In my mind, I'm thinking about this. There was a news release come out from the Hitmen late last week. I was going to save this for a 10 things column, but I'll say it here. Kelly Kissio honored with the Forever a Hitman honor. Doesn't that just sound weird?
Yeah.
I find the term hitman offensive. Forever a Hitman. Is it just me?
Should it be Hitman?
No, it's Hitman.
One of the players.
Forever an assassin. Let's just use another term for it. You see what I'm getting at, right, Paul?
I do.
Winnipeg beat Moose Jaw 5-4. Do you see the irony in that? Warriors beat the Warriors, if you will. Moose Jaw Warriors used to be the Winnipeg Warriors. Yesterday, the Ice beat the Warriors 5-4. Everett beat Spokane 4-1. Vancouver down Kelowna 3-1. Again, no games in the dub last night. In the SJ, Humboldt beat Notre Dame 4-1. And Kindersley down Melville 7-4. No games in the SJ tonight. But the NHL gets back at it tonight with six. And that is sports on tap for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. Spend $100 in the Tap Liquor Store and you will get a $20 gift card to use in the Brewhouse. Stop by and see them today. And we haven't forgotten about Ballers. We're going to give away right now. Contest time! A table for four. You and three friends at the Ballers Rod Peterson Show Super Bowl party this Sunday. The first person who writes in with the correct answer will join us at Ballers with three friends, okay? The question is, who won the last Super Bowl that was played in Miami?
And now we wait.
Boom!
Who knows that off the top of their head? That's the big question.
Who
knows it off the top of their head? and isn't, oh, of course. And isn't Googling
somebody
it.
Somebody will know it. I hosted a Super Bowl party at another place in town years ago. It was the year the Panthers and the Patriots were in it. And we did a 12-question NFL Super Bowl trivia. And I like the toughest questions you could find. And guys were just rattling them off. The people, there's a lot of people around here that know their NFL Super Bowl trivia. But we're going to find out how many know that are watching right now. Still waiting. Make it snappy, would ya? Casey. Casey Andrew. Casey Andrew won it first. We have a winner. Casey, you're joining us at Ballers, you and three friends, this Sunday. I don't want any of these professional contest players that win and then don't show up to claim their prize. Right, Paul? We're going to institute the same rule here that we had on my old show. If you win a contest and you don't claim the prize or show up to the event, you are banned forever. No prize for you. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Fair.
So, Casey, you've won. You're the first one to say that it was the New Orleans Saints who won the last Super Bowl played there. Saints 31, Colts 17. Casey, I'm glad to have you down there. But if you don't show up, you can never win again. And you'll be flogged at midfield at Mosaic Stadium. Nude.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Nude? Yes, nude. Oh, okay. We'll flog him nude. Thank you, Casey. Woot, woot. He's coming. That's our first winner. So be watching throughout the rest of the week. The good boys and gals down at Ballers have awarded us 8 tables to give away of 4 each, which includes a pizza, and the beverages are on you. What did you have to say? I've been talking too much here.
No, it's
I'm
good.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I'm excited. It's fun to get the week started. I know yesterday was a tough day, but I know the 49ers arrived in Miami yesterday. The Chiefs, I'm pretty sure, are there or getting in today. So it's going to be a fun week. It's going to be a fun week. Super Bowl week's always a fun one. Getting closer to free agency time. Yeah, I'm just ready to get rolling again.
Well, a lot of the show today, for obvious reasons, was on Kobe Bryant, and I should update the poll results before we roll. I don't know if we have changed anybody's mind on our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. Should the NBA retire Kobe's number league-wide, number 24? We haven't changed anybody's mind. 66% on Facebook voting yes, they should retire his number league-wide, 52% on Twitter. Mike Abou-Meshrick, this is very rare, by the way, that he would inject some sanity into the discussion or sound reasoning. But he's like, let's not get to... That's why they have a 3-year cooling off period before Halls of Fame. Kobe was a Lakers legend. He was an NBA legend. But we're talking about the greatest ever to play in the sport. And by the time all's said and done, LeBron's going to be that. Period. Wayne with 99, you can see. Jackie Robinson with 42, you can see. Kobe, because he was killed tragically, that's not why you retire jersey numbers. Although maybe it is. Somebody wrote in and said the Riders had 4 players killed coming home from an All-Star game. It was in 1959. So maybe you do. Who's to say who's right and who's wrong?
It's a little different. You have, like, you know, a situation where you have players and that happens to them, and the players, you always want to remember that, and maybe you do, you know, retire the numbers to always honor them in that way. But, it is really tough. And I know the fans in the polls, you know they're going to vote yes because you feel...
They're emotional.
Yeah, they're emotional. And you feel like maybe you're disrespecting him by saying, no, we shouldn't retire his number. You know, and you're honoring him by saying, yeah, we should. And, you know, that's a good thing to feel. But when it comes to actually pulling it off, yeah, you got to think a little further because unfortunately, people die. And it happens after you're done playing. And there's been tragic accidents in the past. And, you know, we have to honor him and we should honor him and he deserves that. But this is different.
Clark points out, too, that those aren't league-wide rider jersey retirement numbers. Those are rider numbers, not league-wide. Huge difference. And thank you, Clark, for injecting that. But you know what? It's been a fun coffee discussion today. I'd like to think this is what a lot of people were talking about around Coffee Row today. We'll do it right back here again tomorrow. We'll see you at 10 a.m. Central here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.